It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. According to the American Society of Civil Engineers, 2013 American Infrastructure Reports, nearly one in five of Pennsylvania's bridges are considered functionally obsolete. And Pennsylvania leads the nation in the number of bridges classified as structurally deficient. The recent bridge collapse in Washington State 2 weeks ago is leaving many citizens of the Keystone State asking how much longer regular use of these aging bridges can continue before repairs need to be done. On today's show, we're talking about the health of Pennsylvania's bridges with Scott Christie, Deputy Director of the State Highway Administration. He joins us by phone from Harrisburg. Scott Christie, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks very much.
And if you have a comment or question for our guest, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. And if you can reach us on Twitter, you can do so at esspgh, following the conversation at #EPLive. What bridges do you use on a regular basis? What concerns do you have about the condition they're in? 412-246-2002, 412-246-2002. Scott Christie, what concerns do you have about the state of Pennsylvania's bridges?
Thanks. First, I would tell everybody out there that we have a very aggressive bridge inspection program, and every one of our bridges is inspected on time, and we adhere to all the national bridge inspection standards and federal regulations in inspecting our bridges. So the bridges that are open are safe. But the information that you provided is accurate. Right now, we actually have 33 closed bridges, almost 600 posted bridges, and right now the number is just slightly under 4,500 structurally deficient bridges in the state of Pennsylvania. In the past, we've actually had an extremely aggressive accelerated bridge program. In the past, the number of posted and closed and structurally deficient bridges was significantly higher. We had over 6,000 structurally deficient. We had almost 1,000 posted and almost closing in on 80 closed bridges. The bottom line is that accelerated bridge program has reduced the number significantly in the past several years, and it's been a great program. But the bottom line is, it was at the detriment of our pavement. The pavement's gotten a lot worse over the last couple of years, and our real problem right now is which do we address? Do we address our pavement? Do we address our bridges? We can't keep both of them healthy anymore. We've reached the end of our line on the funding, and it just can't keep going in terms of improving our infrastructure at this point in time with the level of funding we have. So my big concern right now we can keep fixing bridges, but if we do that, at the end of the day, our pavement's going to get a lot worse, and we'll have potholes, and there'll be safety issues on the pavement as well. So we really have an issue right now of safety across the board in terms of continuing to maintain our infrastructure, and that's the main concern that's out there.
And so then how important is that infrastructure funding that is being discussed in the legislature? There's some question as to whether it'll make it into the budget by the deadline at the end of this month. I'm sure you're watching that situation very, very closely. Where do things stand, and what happens if that funding doesn't come through?
Well, and that's just it. That package is critical, and it's critical for safety, and that's what I believe the Secretary was discussing when he was out in that part of the state. The critical part is that we now are going to simply have to be focusing on safety issues on our bridges. We're going to have to spend all of our money simply trying to make sure and ensure that the bridges remain safe, and at the same time, the money that's left over will have to go specifically towards the safety issues related to the pavement as well. We're not going to be able to continue to keep up with the routine maintenance and even improving and building any brand new roadways and upgrading the roadways to make them even better or new looking. All we're going to be able to do is do the routine maintenance and keeping the safety issues from becoming a major issue. That's all we're going to be able to do going forward.
And
what the Secretary was talking about was the fact that when we take a look at the bridges, if we don't have the additional funding, with the level of traffic that's on there and the level of corrosion that occurs and we can't keep up, we're going to have to take a look at the factors of safety we're using to continue to make them safe for the trucks and the traffic that's going across them, and that will result in more postings.
412-246-2002, the number to call, and we have Carolyn in Oakmont on the line with us. Carolyn, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. I do have a comment about funding, but first, I live in Oakmont, where the Halton Bridge is, Rusty Halton Bridge, that's the same design as the bridge that went down in Minnesota. When the bridge went down in Washington a few weeks ago, I called my congressman and my senators. Senator Casey, the woman in his office, said, I said that we should have the infrastructure bill or something from the federal government to get our roadways, you know, get this going. And she told me that's up to the state. Is that true?
The funding within Pennsylvania actually comes from both the federal government and the state government. Right now, we get about $1.4 billion from the federal government, and that's the federal gas tax is collected at the pump, and it goes to the federal government, and then they distribute it back to the state. So the fact of the matter is there are federal dollars that are collected, and there are also state dollars that are collected as well. So, and the bottom line is it's a combination of funding from both the federal and the state government that we use to upgrade our infrastructure.
And what was your other comment, Carolyn?
I understand that they were building another bridge up the river. Is that true, to replace the Halton Bridge?
I don't have the particular information on. I'm familiar with the Halton Bridge. I'm not familiar with all the projects that are specifically in that area. But I know after the Minnesota Bridge collapse, I can tell you that we specifically went out and took a hard look at all of our truss bridges across the state that are similar, to make sure that we did not have any of the issues that the Minnesota Bridge was experiencing.
Carolyn, thank you for your phone call. And, of course, Carolyn referring to the I-35W bridge in Minnesota, which we mentioned at the very outset of the program, certainly a horrific situation that occurred when that bridge collapsed nearly 6 years ago now. There were a number of people that died as a result of that accident. It was 13 to be exact, and 145 injured. And now we've had the recent collapse of the bridge in Washington State. Mr. Christie, how does that impact your sense of urgency at this point?
Well, the Washington one was due to an impact, but I will also say that within the state of Pennsylvania, we do experience a number of impacts to our bridges, and we have to respond to those. Essentially, the issue that we're facing right now is, more than anything else, is that Pennsylvania's bridges are pretty much the oldest bridges in the country. We experience extraordinary freeze-thaw cycles where we get freezing, and then it thaws, and then it freezes again. It breaks the concrete up. And on top of that, we add salt, obviously, to salt our roads to keep them safe during winter, and that accelerates the corrosion. So when you're looking at the problems that we face in Pennsylvania, they're just a little bit higher level than the other states are facing, and we haven't had a funding increase in 15 years. So when we're taking a look at this, the bottom line is it's now critical to start addressing the funding of our infrastructure.
It's Essential Pittsburgh here on 90.5 WESA. We're speaking with Scott Christie, Deputy Secretary of the State Highway Administration, about the condition of Pennsylvania's bridges. And we were talking about structurally deficient bridges and also functionally obsolete ones. What is the difference between a structurally deficient bridge and a functionally obsolete one?
That's functionally obsolete basically means that there's something that, from a functional standpoint, and by functional I mean the bridge width, the clearance underneath the bridge, things along those lines that it now doesn't meet. So from a functional point of view, it could be simply that the clearance underneath the bridge is too small, or the width of the bridge, it's not wide enough to meet national criteria today. Structurally deficient is a different story. Structurally deficient is just like your house. As you look around your house, things start to wear out. If you have steel there, it starts to corrode. If you have concrete, you get cracks in the concrete. And as you get more and more cracks and more corrosion, we evaluate that and measure it every 2 years as required by the regulations and the national standards. And as we measure it and it reaches a point, it becomes, we give it a certain rating, and when it reaches a certain lower rating, it then falls into a structurally deficient category. So, but I will tell you that what we do to make sure the bridges are safe is as this corrosion occurs and we aren't able to take care of it and completely rebuild the bridge, we actually do re-rate the bridge to make sure that the loads going across it can safely go across it. So it's a combination of inspecting the bridge and also doing a re-rating to make sure that the factor of safety still remains, even or in spite of the fact that you see some corrosion out there. So structurally deficient essentially means you can see corrosion, but it also means the inspectors and engineers have accounted for that in their evaluation of the safe loads that can cross it.
And as opposed to the functionally obsolete ones, which have just been, these would be a lot of the bridges that we see in Pennsylvania that are 50 years old or older that have been designed in a way that really doesn't meet the standards of today's transportation needs.
Right. You would see like no shoulder on the road. You would see signs warning you that the normal truck can't get under the bridge anymore. Things like that. That from a functional standpoint, it just can't handle the traffic of today.
And each poses a problem for the infrastructure.
That's correct.
We're talking about the condition of bridges in Pennsylvania and concerns about them and infrastructure needs going forward. With our guest, Scott Christie, Deputy Secretary of the State Highway Administration. I'm Paul Guggenheimer here on 90.5 WESA as we continue on Essential Pittsburgh. If you'd like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. You can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH. Our email address is ESSPGH@WESA.FM. What bridges do you use on a regular basis? What concerns do you have about the condition that they're in? 412-246-2002. Scott, I mentioned that there is the urgency of addressing some of the structurally deficient bridges. To reach the national average of structurally deficient bridges, PennDOT reportedly needs to reduce the number of structurally deficient bridges to roughly 2,700, which would equate to nearly 400 bridges each year for the next 21 years. How realistic is that goal?
That's very realistic. And the reason I say that is because if you've noticed in the past, as I mentioned at the outset, we had 6,000 about 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago, and we're now down around 4,500. So in just the last 4 to 5 years, we've reduced the number over 1,500. So the fact of the matter is we are making progress if we get enough money. And you might say, well, you've done that, so why can't you keep doing it? And the reason we can't keep doing it is because the part of the money for the Accelerated Bridge Program was some bonding that's now over with. And there was additional money that was input into our budget that's now gone. So we don't have that extra money to continue with that bridge program anymore. Governor Corbett had continued with it for a certain period of time, but eventually you have to pay for the bonds that you've put out there. And that money now isn't there. And now our program is diminished, and because we have our bridges are so old, we have about 300 that come on every year. We're simply barely able to keep up with the number that's coming on. And I say barely, and the reason I say barely is because we're sacrificing our pavement to do it, and we're making hard choices right now. But if we get a funding increase, it's quite obvious that our industry, the contractors and the consultants, are able to deliver the projects and get them out for advertisement, and the contractors able to build them, because in the last couple of years we have reduced it by 1,500.
We have a
so depending on the level of funding, we'll determine how fast we can get to the national average.
We have Andy and Ambridge on the line with a question for us. Andy, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I, like I said, live in Ambridge and right there by the bridge. So while the lack of traffic is really nice right now, can't wait for the bridge to be open. What was it that made the Ambridge Bridge, or any bridge that does have work on it, get chosen to have the work done?
So what is the criteria, Scott, for deciding whether to close a bridge or make repairs?
Right now, there's two overall criteria, well, and there's a process that we go through. First, we do have a program to preserve bridges. So if we try and carve out some money to do some routine maintenance, so that some obvious cracks and flaws that will rapidly deteriorate into a serious flaw are taken care of. We our inspection crews identify that work, and we have that part of the program. So you will see some bridges that I would not call structurally deficient, but they're being preserved. And the reason they're being preserved is because the inspectors that go out highlight something that could really turn serious very quickly if we don't take care of it. Those are addressed. The second portion then are the structurally deficient bridges. We have those listed. We have them mapped all across the state. And we take those bridges to our planning organizations, and we work with the planning organizations and the local leaders, and we prioritize those bridges that need to be fixed with the planning organizations. So it's a partnership with all the local officials to say, here are structurally deficient bridges. Which ones do you believe need to go first, second, and third? And we also try to do it in a way that we don't put them all in the same area and create gridlock and other problems as well. You know, there's always a problem when you close a bridge or reroute traffic, and we try and work that out the best of our ability.
Yes, we're certainly aware of how that impacts traffic patterns here in the city of Pittsburgh when that happens. As we wrap up this segment, what needs to be done, Scott? You mentioned certainly the infrastructure, funding and support that needs to be in place. But as we look at the challenges ahead, what has to happen, in your opinion, immediately?
Well, what has to happen is that I would say at both levels, both the federal and the state government, the federal government, you know, Congressman Schuster from Pennsylvania is now leading the Transportation Committee there. And, you know, we're very hopeful with his leadership something will happen at the federal level. And at the state level, we look at, you know, the leadership of the governor. The governor put out a proposal courageously at one of the highest funding proposals that's ever been put out there. And what really needs to happen is the support of that proposal at whatever level the legislature and the governor come to, whatever the sweet spot happens to be, and then challenge the department and the transportation industry, both the contractors and consultants, to deliver a program. And I believe that the evidence is clearly out there, based on what we did with the stimulus program, that the industry can deliver wholeheartedly, and you'll see a lot of improvements if the funding is made available.
Scott Christie is Deputy Secretary of the State Highway Administration, joining us by phone from Harrisburg. Scott Christie, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh today.
I appreciate being on. Thank you very much for having me.
Coming up, what role will the Citizen Police Review Board play in restoring community confidence in the Pittsburgh Police Force? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.